Thanks, and morning, everyone. So this is the last course. So as usual, the last course in the summer school will be of somewhat higher level. So far, I have tried to explain all the basic stuff allowing to go to minifield control minifield game, and now I'm going to develop a little bit. So it might go faster, but I try to give the main ideas. So let me come back to what we did yesterday, and then I will explain what I intend to say today. Okay, so the basic question we met yesterday was again this minefield control problem, which consists in looking at the population of points in RD which are moving in time according to a controlled stochastic differential equation. So here I reduced it to its minimum, that is, a controller controls all the particles through a control which is directly the drift of the evolving particle, okay? And the BI are independent Brownian motion. And these particles have a similar initial condition, which is an ID random variable. Okay, so this is standard, and this is not completely mandatory. What is really mandatory is that what I'm saying is that the Brownian motion are independent. So you've got a unique controller who controls all these guys, okay, through the control alpha I, and you want to minimize some criterion, which I wrote here for simplicity, of the in this form. So there is a part which will play the role of the coercive part, which is the weight you put on each control, okay, and because you have a lot of particles and you want to, and what we have in mind is to pass to the limit as the number of particles go to infinity. We weight this quantity by 1 over n. Okay. And you have a nominal cost, which explains how each particle interacts with the global, the other ones, which is a function depending on time, on the xi, okay, so on each particle xi, and on the empirical measure of the other particle. So this is a typical symmetric function of all the xj for j different from I, okay, that I write in this form. Okay, and what we explained before is the following. First, we should expect that the alpha I, in fact, are in the feedback form. That is, this is a function of time of the particle system and on the empirical measure. And then if this is the case, okay, so the minimization of adaptive controls is the same as the minimization of feedback controls in this form, so alpha I of these quantities, okay. And if this is the case, we should expect, under some regularity on alpha I, that the empirical measure associated with this particle system is in fact almost deterministic and given by the law of any of the particles. So these particles have the same law, so the law here for to fix the idea of alpha I. Okay. So this is the law of large number, and this is what we have mostly studied yesterday. So now I'm going to state a result which is that this is exactly the case. Okay. And this result is very nice theorem due to Lacan. So I'm going to open a new page. So in principle, you should see the new page and
yes, so everything is fine. Yes.
Okay, thanks. And we are in. Okay, we are still in section 3 on the minfield control. Okay, and this should be the third point, the minfield limit. The second point, sorry. So the second part was minfield analysis. Okay, so the main field we were studying differential equation, stochastic differential equation with many particles. Okay, and here, let me call it the mean field limit in the control problem. Okay, so again, I'll write the notation. So let me call En the infimum of over the problem we discussed so far. So I'll write it again. For the convenience. So this is what we want to minimize at first, okay? I just discussed it. So far, so and there is the dynamics, which is stochastic control type. Okay, and so what do we expect as a mean field limit? So for n equal to infinity, so what we expect as a limit, as explained, is the infimum over the controls of the same type of problem, except that we replace the empirical measure by the law of the process itself, and so I can write this for any for I equal one and without n. This should be s. And this should be the law of x1. Okay, and as usual, we require that x1 satisfies the stochastic differential equation with drift, which is controlled and which is alpha 1. Okay, and as I said, so this is I capital N, okay? And as I said, one expects this the convergence of EI to infinity, and this was proved relatively recently by Dan Lacker, who is in at Columbia, or was at Columbia, I think. And this has been published in SIAM Journal of Control in 2007, and he proved, among many other things, that you have convergence. Of EI to infinity. So the correct problem, the correct limit problem is this one. Okay, and as we will see, this problem has nice structure, and we can write optimality conditions. So in the second, I will discuss about optimality existence of minimizers on the one hand, and optimality condition for this this limit problem. Okay, and we will see that the optimality condition make appear some derivative in the space of Nash. Okay, a word about so what we say here is that the value converges to the value. Okay, but Lacker proved also that if you look at the empirical measure associated to a minimizer or an epsilon minimizer for this problem, okay, then it converges in some sense to a minimizer of this problem. Okay, so it gives you not only the convergence of the value, but also the convergence of the particle system, if you like. And in fact, also, it proves something about the convergence of the optimal controls. So you have a relatively well understood picture here. And what it shows also is that conversely, if you take something which is optimal here, then you can build out of it something which is almost optimal. Okay, so if you take alpha one, which is optimal in the limit problem, okay, so you can take it in feedback form, as I will explain in a moment. Okay, and you can plug this here to build something which is epsilon optimal, like classical argument of Minville limit, as I discussed them in the second part of the course yesterday. Okay, so I won't give the proof of this result because it's really involved. In particular, it relies on tightness estimates on the empirical measure of almost minimizer of this problem, and this really a little bit demanding. And so I won't do that. It's too involved to give in a course. But really, the basic idea were in the course of yesterday, the fact that you have mean field limit.
So you have some convexity in this function capital F and some continuity, or
no? So you are completely right. I completely forgot about the assumptions. So let me restate them more carefully, because indeed you need a little bit more than what I said yesterday. So what I forgot to say is that F, so it's a continuous map, but it's continuous. So you need a little more than continuous in P2. So I'm assuming that Z1, for instance, is in L2, so which means that the law of, so it's in L2 of omega with values in Rd. Thanks for the remark. So I forgot the assumption. So here there are the assumptions. So Z1 is, let's say, in L2, okay? And because of that, you can ensure that X remains square integrable, okay? So, I mean, but in fact, you need a dependence of F a little more than in P2. So in the sense that it goes from Rd times, okay, I'm going to put P1, but in fact, you can put P2 minus epsilon will work. And it's continuous in this space. Okay, so being continuous in P1 is more restrictive than being continuous in P2, okay, because of the comparison between the different distances. So you need some continuity like that and bounded to fix the ID. So I'm assuming that it's bounded. So the leading term, the coercive term, is this one, okay, and the continuity respect to P1 ensures that you can pass to the limit there. So I'll come back to this point because we are going to discuss a little bit about that for proving the existence of solution for this problem. Does it answer your question, Stefan?
Yes, thank you. Yes, of course.
Okay, so now from now on, we concentrate on this problem, okay? And we are going to show that it has a solution in a suitable sense, and write necessary optimality condition for this system. And this will allow, in the second part of the course, to discuss mean field gains, because we will see that mean field gains pop up naturally when we write the optimality condition. The third part of this chapter is existence of optimal condition, of optimal solution. Optimality condition. So from now on, I'm going to make this assumption, okay? And I'm going to write to work under this assumption. Okay, so as you perhaps know, existence of optimal solution to stochastic problem is always a demanding thing. It's you need to relax a lot of the problem, and then to very often you need to change the probability space and so on. So I'm not going to show that. What I'm going to write is to put everything in a deterministic framework and write everything in space of measures. Okay. So in this sense, I'm going to rewrite this problem in the space of measure, so that I avoid a little bit the probabilistic framework and the probabilistic difficulties. Okay, so let me remind you that here we are working on, it's the infimum over alpha one, okay? And when I'm saying the infimum over alpha one, a priori, okay, it doesn't work. A priori, this means that alpha one is an adapted process, adapted to the filtration, more or less generated by the problem motion. Okay, so here it's P1, and no more structure here. But in fact, you can prove that you can restrict the controls to Markov controls, meaning that you can restrict that to alpha one equal alpha one of t. X1 of t. Okay, and so where alpha 1 is Borel measurable and enjoys this condition. And it's known that this equation then has a weak solution, so in some sense. So, and in this case, it's very natural to write everything in a deterministic setting because now you can write all these quantities in a purely deterministic way. And this is what I'm going to do. So rewriting let's rewrite infinity by setting. So let me call M of T dx the law of x1 of T. Okay. So if you do that, okay, remember that alpha 1 is this guy, then what you get is that infinity is equal to the infimum over M and alpha. So I will explain what are M and alpha in my setting. So I've got still the integral between 0 and plus infinity, but the expectation becomes the integral against M. So what do I have? I have a half of alpha. So alpha 1 becomes alpha for simplicity, okay? Of Tx to the square that I'm going to integrate against M plus F of T X M of T. Okay, remember that the law of X1 is M of T. And I'm integrating everything against M. Okay, so this is my new way to rewrite the criterion. Okay. And what is the relation between M and alpha? Okay, so this is a Kolmogorov equation. So the Kolmogorov equation, so which is the equation satisfied by the law of X1. Okay, so it's known that. And okay, I'm going to explain it very, very briefly. It's known that the law of X1, when X1 satisfies Nito formula like that, a stochastic differential equation where like that, okay? It's known that the law of x1 satisfies the Kolmogorov equation, which is the following. So the Laplacian is the sum of the second order partial partial derivative of m, okay? And this is related to Itô's formula, of course. And you have the divergence of alpha m. So m of zero, so the measure at time zero is given by m naught, which is by definition the law of z1. So we call m naught the law of z1. Okay, so I think the criterion is quite transparent. I just need to explain what is this and what is the meaning of that and how it comes.
So that m is given and you're looking in this differential equation for this alpha, is it right?
No. So what is given here is f and m naught. These are the data. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
And I'm minimizing over all the pair m alpha, which satisfies this equation.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So in principle, if alpha is smooth, okay, then you have a unique solution to this equation. Okay, except that if you don't put assumption on alpha, and in fact, when you are going to prove the existence of solution, you don't want to put regularity condition on alpha. Okay, then you need to work on alpha pairs of alpha m and alpha satisfying this. So before I proceed, I want to give an explanation of this for this formula. So if you are not familiar with stochastic differential equation, you probably have not seen what is called the Kolmogorov equation, which is the equation satisfied by the law of the solution. So explanation of star. And then I will come back on what exactly are we taking the inf. Okay. This is the Kolmogorov equation. Okay, so what I want to show is that, in fact, if you take x1, which satisfies the stochastic differential equation, so let me rewrite it, dx1 of t, so given alpha, x1 satisfies alpha of x of t. So for simplicity, I remove the one in the alpha, okay? So. So if x1 solves this equation, then the law of x1 which I call m of t solves star in a weak sense, so in the sense of distribution. So if you have seen stochastic differential equation, you know that very well. And here let it as an exercise. So what I mean is this equation is satisfying the sense of distribution, okay? And this is an exercise based on Itô's formula. And you just use Itô's formula by testing the measure m against a smooth test function with compact support. Okay, and you prove that this holds in the sense of distribution. So I don't know if I. Okay. I, Let me explain what means in the sense of distribution, so that we will explain what is the divergence if you are not familiar with that. So distribution, this means that for any test function, which is C infinity, is compact support in 0t, so in 0 plus infinity, times Rd. So what I'm writing here is the meaning of star in the sense of distribution. Okay, so what we need is that the integral of Rd of dt phi of dx plus Laplacian of phi zero of dx minus alpha of tx scalar product with d phi tx. When you integrate it against m of t dx dt and you add the initial condition, so I'm going to make a mistake in the sign for the initial condition, I never remember. So it's phi of 0 x m0, remember that m0 is the law of x1, this must be equal to 0. Okay, please correct me, I probably made a mistake in the initial for here. Okay, for the plus it's probably minus. Okay, so so by the equation satisfied in the sense of solution, I mean that, okay? So this give a... So now, let me say a few words about where the infimum is taken. So it's taken over the set of measure M, which is continuous in the space in P2, let's say. Okay, so it's continuous flow of measure, and it's deterministic. No? And alpha is Borel, so it goes from 0t times Rd. Well, it's Borel measurable. And in order to ensure that the quantity is well defined, you need that you have a condition like that. This is fine. Okay, so when you integrate the square of alpha against M, which is a Borel probability measure, so this makes sense. Okay, this quantity is finite, which this ensures the criterion to be finite. Okay, and again, by the equation, I mean that it's satisfied in the sense of distribution. Okay, and this makes perfect sense, and because alpha m is well defined. Okay, so by Cauchy-Schwarz inequality, this term is well defined, and all the other terms are nice. You have questions on this formulation? Okay, so again, we rewrite in a deterministic way, so in terms of measure, the problem, and the problem becomes, and this is the problem we are going to analyze, it becomes this one. Okay, so the first step we want to achieve is to say that this problem has a solution, but we have an issue, okay, for doing that. So if you know a little bit of calculus of variation, and I'm sure, I think if you follow Doreen Bucher's course, you probably have to face that. In general, you need some convexity somewhere, okay? So the fact that F is not convex is not a big issue because you have plenty of regularity of F, and we will see that we have some compactness for M. The real issue is the alpha, because alpha is multiplied by M, okay? So that part is not convex at all. And here you've got a product alpha M, which is really bad, okay? Which, we will at most have weak convergence of M and weak convergence of alpha, and the product is a pure nightmare, okay? So you cannot handle that. But there is a usual trick, which is known from Benamou Prenier, which is known from Yann Brenier, which consists, in fact, in giving a name to this these quantities, product alpha m, okay, and to consider it as a variable instead of alpha. So let me say that now. So what I'm heading to is the existence of a solution. Okay, and in a weak sense, and this sense will appear when I rewrite everything. So set E, so usually it's called like that, equal alpha M. So M is a measure, alpha is a Borel vector field, so this guy is a measure on 0t times Rd. So it's a sine measure, it's a vector measure with values in Rd. Because M is a proba measure, okay, it's a Radon measure, in fact, in this space, okay? So note that by definition, this guy, E, is absolutely continuous respect to M, and its Radon-Nikodym derivative is nothing but alpha, okay, by definition. And so you can rewrite E infinity as a problem where now you minimize over E and M, and over M and E, sorry. The integral between 0 and T, the integral over Rd, of, so it's a half of the Radon-Nikodym derivative of E. Wait a moment. I'm saying something stupid. Okay, so let me finish the term, but I'm writing something odd. I'm sorry. Okay. So if E was smooth, okay, what I should find is E square. So assume that E is smooth and so it's a smooth function, which by regularization you can assume that, and when you take the infimum. So it should be E squared divided by M Okay, assuming that again M is smooth plus this. Okay, so so let me give a sense to a meaning to this. So by this, what I mean is that this quantity is finite, is E is absolutely continuous with respect to M, and then it's the usual stuff, and plus infinity or otherwise. Okay, so.
So you to what is the measure you integrate this first term?
No, no, you're right. I'm some okay. I did that 1,000 times in several papers, but now I've got a gap, and I don't understand why I've got this gap. So the whole point is to transform the problem into a problem in which this term becomes convex. Okay, so far we had something like alpha square m. Okay, and the map. Which to M alpha associate alpha square M is not convex. Okay, and since I want to have a weak convergence, I've got a problem here. So I want to transform it into a convex map, which is M E, okay, which is E square divided by M, and this one is convex. Okay, so this is what I want to write, which is formally correct, but I mean, which is formally it's exactly the same. This is the stuff, except that it doesn't make much sense. So let me remind how it works exactly. But this is really the idea. Huh? I want to integrate e to the square divided by m. Okay, which is exactly if I set E equal alpha M, and alpha and M are nice functions, this is exactly the same, okay? So that's the point. But now, I need, okay, so, I need a couple of minutes to remember how it works. So, okay, so the idea is to write this to write this as a soup. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to I have to think about it during the break. Okay, so let me state the problem and let me state the result, the existence result, and then we come back after the break for the correct definition of that because I'm going to screw it up. So, okay, so because this quantity. Can be made convex. Okay. Then and this guy turns out to be coercive. What you get is the following theorem: there exists at least a solution. And in the 5 minutes, so let's skip the question of convexity on which I come back after the break, and let me briefly explain you how it works. Okay, so keep in mind the fact that you have a one-to-one correspondence between the formulation in terms of E M as it is written here, and in terms of alpha M as I wrote before. Okay. So the key point is that you have the key step is you have some tightness, okay, which ensures that M behaves nicely, okay, so that you can pass to the limit in this term when you take a minimizing sequence, and then this term can be handled by lower semi-continuity argument, given the fact that you have estimates on uniform estimates on E. So the sketch of proof. I'm going to do it very fast. So take the minimizing sequence. Okay, and set alpha n is the radonic mean derivative of En. Against Nn. Then what do we know? Okay, so it's relatively easy to check that because you know that. Okay, so because you know that alpha n is square integrable against Mn and this bounding, so there exists, because it's a minimizing sequence. So let me show you again the quantity. So this is this one, or alpha n square times n times Mn. Okay. So this term is bounded and you have a minimizing sequence. So as infinity is finite, okay, you can check that this term, okay, remains bounded. So this is what I'm saying here. There is a constant C positive such that written in terms of alpha n, this is less than C. Okay, so this is uniformly bounded and this is a coercive term, in fact. So this implies, if you remember what we did for when we were analyzing the regularity in space of the solution of a stochastic differential equation, okay, here it's the same. Huh? In fact, you could write Mn as a solution of the stochastic differential equation with drift alpha n. Okay, so this implies that you have a uniform continuity of Mn. So the D2 of Mn of T kind of uniform continuity. It's not Lipschitz, but it's Hölder, if you remember what we said about the flow of the law of a random variable, okay, the law of a solution of the stochastic differential equation. This is exactly what we are doing. Okay, so so that's the first point. And the second point is, because alpha n is square integrable, you have also estimates on the second order moment of Mn. So the 2 power t on bounded intervals. Sorry. This is uniformly bounded. Okay. So I'm using a generic constant, C, but it might differ from this line to this line. Okay, so what you get here, and I'll stop there, is a uniform estimate on the regularity of Mn in the space P2 and uniform bound moments. Okay. The only catch is the fact that it's not because you have uniform estimate on the second order moment that you have compactness of Mn. Okay. In fact, you have compactness of Mn in any in any Wasserstein space of a weight P for P less than 2. Okay, so this is the reason why I work with P equal 1, okay, for instance. So this implies compactness of pre-compactness. Of the flow of measure Mn in the set 0t with values in p1, but I could put p2 minus epsilon for any epsilon. Okay. And because of that, you can pass to the limit up to a subsequence in the term with f. Okay, so this is transparent. And in this term, it's related to the lower semi-continuity of this expression that I didn't write correctly, and so I apologize. I'll come back to that point after the break, using the estimate, which is here, okay? Okay, so I stop here, and after the break, I come back to the question of the quantity that I didn't write correctly.
So we resume then 7.